Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we appreciate you. Thank you for the work that you do in our lives. You are the revelator. You are the one who reveals Jesus to us. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Deliver us from blindness, that we'll behold the living God as He is and be transformed into the same likeness from glory unto glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I want to welcome you all to the house of the Lord this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. Amen. The more I study the Word of God, the more I learn of the things of the Spirit, the more I know that I don't know. These 40-something years of walking with the Lord have taught me something about the Word of God, the Bible, that it is meant to be more than anything else, be a conduit of revelation, of teaching us. And that God is very intentional. There are no errors in the Word of God. There are no mistakes. There are teaching moments, lessons to be learned. And when we get that settled, when we come into a passage of Scripture that throws us off, we must take a hold of ourselves and say, what is it that God is trying to communicate? What is the agenda here? What is He trying to say to me? And how does that impact me as a person, as a believer, as a disciple? What is He trying to get across to me? And when you get that, the scriptures all of a sudden take flight. It takes you to another place. And you begin to see things that you did not see. You begin to see connections that you did not get. You begin to see that the characters, the individuals, the places, the description of certain things were there for a reason. That's why I spend my time when I'm sharing the Word of God talking about a name. And this is what the name means. Because there are no names in there that weren't meant to be there. God was writing and putting together a script for all times. He's telling a story. His name shall be called Emmanuel. We don't call him Emmanuel that much, but his name shall be called Emmanuel. What was that? Not God with us. That's the point. His name shall be called Yeshua, for he shall save the people from their sins. That's the point. Peter, small stone upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. That's the point. Rock, Peter, same word, bigger rock, small rock. He's making a point. And when we come across the story of Jesus walking on the water, and we read John, and we see his stake, and we read Mark, and we see what he says, and we read Matthew, and we see what Matthew says, and we read Luke, and we see what Luke said and did not say at all. We must ask ourselves a question. What is he trying to communicate? And if I have ever come across a passage of scripture or passage of scripture that communicates so much about you and I getting to know him, this is it. God's heart is for us to know him. Now, I doubt that I'm going to finish what I have to talk to you about, if I'm going to do any justice to it, even 5%. But we'll get rolling. And when it seems like I'm going on a detour, I'm not. I'm still on track. The passage of scripture we read and we studied from this morning was Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 22 to 27, where Peter and the disciples are constrained by the Lord. That's a key word. They're constrained by the Lord. They were compelled by the Lord to go. And so they did. While they were 3-4 miles in their journey, trying to cross the sea, the instruction was, go by Bethsaida. He said, when he sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. We spent some time talking about that some other day. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. But what had he just finished doing? The Bible tells us, and I'll read through this particular segment of scripture, and we know it very well. From verse 14 through 21, tells us exactly what he just finished doing. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And this is important. That statement, and he healed their sick, is so important because that same statement is going to come to play later. Because it's going to tell them, you didn't come following me because of anything else, not because of the miracles, but because of the bread that you ate. But he had healed. He'd done massive healing. So massive that Herod takes notice of him and says, look, I think this guy is John the Baptist come back to life. And then the Bible tells us about how John the Baptist was killed and all of that. Herod was still trying to figure out who this guy is. And the whole aspect of scripture here is all about identifying who he really is. It goes on, he heals all these people, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. And the time is now past, send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. And Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and break and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. That is key. He broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. This is his agenda. That whatever it is that he's doing, that he partners with his disciples to bring about the fulfillment of the meeting of the needs of the people. That we don't send people away without having their needs met. That there is always something available to meet the needs of the people. And when you participate with me, miracles are going to happen. He is teaching them something. They don't know yet. They don't know. They're not cluing in, but he's teaching them. And it goes on. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. So he starts with 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and now he has 12 baskets full of what is remaining after he just fed 5,000 hungry men. They must have been Nigerians. See, you know, here when we eat bread, you take 2 slices, you toast it. When I was growing up, you take a whole... Everybody gets their own loaf. You understand? A whole loaf, and we whop it down with Sprite and Coke. So when I first came to North America and they were cutting slices, I'm saying, what is this? What are you guys trying to do? Are you insulting me with this? What is this? Well, hungry men can chow down. The Bible says, and they had eaten, those that had eaten, 5,000 men beside women and children. Beside the women and children from 5 pita bread. And after he just did that, straight away,
That's why it is straight away. He just did an amazing miracle, but he wants them to come to the place where they get the idea that I want you to participate. I got you to participate in the miracle. I did the praying. I gave the bread to you, and in your hands, as you ministered it, great things happened. Do you get it? I want you to be my partners in ministry. And incidentally, if you don't get it yet, I leaked it a few months back, that the theme that the Lord has raised up by His Spirit is partnership with God for the year that is coming. He is going to sustain and keep His covenant with us. God's goal is to bring us into partnership so that the things that He did, we can do also, and greater things shall we do because He's going to be with the Father. Why did He go to the Father? Because He came to accomplish and establish the covenant. I am so overwhelmed at the story that God is telling through the years. The story that God is telling, every time He gives us a word, He's telling a story. He's not in a rush. He's just telling the story. And everything, one thing after the other, He's placing things in their proper place. And He's awakening us by His Spirit to come to that place where we become aware of who He is. And not allow the circumstances of this world to cause us to fail. Hallelujah. He sent the multitudes away. Why? That's the business of His disciples. But He says, you guys go. Go. Just go. Just go. 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 I'll send these guys off. Lord, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Go by Bethsaida. But the amazing thing about that statement, as I said this morning, is that Bethsaida, the house of fishing, is so far away. What we know now, maybe tomorrow, someday, so at some point, we'll find this Bethsaida that he's talking about, because he talks about Bethsaida of Galilee. The Bible, I will bring you to that place. But Bethsaida that we know today is so inland and nowhere close to where they were. Bethsaida and where they were going to are kilometers away. Two totally different directions. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Why all of that? If you're not riding with me right now, you should have been here this morning, and so on and so forth. But listen. Sends the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone in the place of prayer, up in the mountain, talking with his Father. He says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Let's go. And the fourth watch, about 3 a.m., Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And watch this now. But straight away, immediately, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We talked about that this morning. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If there is ever a statement in Scripture that has been made by anybody, I think this statement here is amongst the greatest statements ever made.
Because this man is in a storm. The storm is raging. It's not calmed down. And he's saying, if that's you, bid me come. And the Lord, of course, said, it's me. Come. And Peter gets off that boat and begins to walk. Still stormy, still windy, waves are still high, and he walks to where Jesus was. He's walking on water. He's defying gravity. Laws, natural laws, have been broken. The other disciples are still in the boat. He's walking on water. And he gets to where Jesus was. He is just arm's length from Jesus. And that's when he failed. He starts looking at the storm that he has just overridden. This is, oh, watch this. This is important. This is like Elijah calling down fire, wiping out the prophets of Baal, and hears the voice of Jezebel and takes off. Because the most dangerous point in your life is when you have come to the apex of the place where you think, I have arrived. If it's you, bid me come. Yes, come. Now he's face to face with Jesus. He knows that this is not a spirit. This is not a ghost. This is Jesus. Now he's sinking. You and I must never let down our focus of faith. That goes for you. That goes for me. Peter just had the revelation of who Jesus is. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next moment, Jesus tells him, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. And he seizes on Jesus and says, how dare you say such a thing? And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. One moment, only God could have revealed this to you. My Father revealed this to you. And the next moment, get behind me, Satan. Well, because when you think you have arrived, that is your most dangerous point. That's when you need to focus your attention very intentionally. Because that's when the accolades of men come. Wow, look at you. Look at this, look at that, look at this and look at that. No, I'm not looking at this and looking at that. I give God thanks, but I'm giving God thanks by looking at him. Because what the enemy would like to do is show you everything else. Look at that. And before you get to know what's happening, you've become very heady. But thank God. He says, but when he saw the wind, blepo, when he gave attention to the wind, that it was boisterous. It's not even the sea. Did you notice? He says, but when he saw the wind, it was not the wind that was the problem. The real problem is that he's walking on water. That's the distraction. Distractions. He began to pay attention to the wind. It was boisterous. It was the blowing. He was afraid of the wind. Really? Is the wind that's scaring you? What about the water? That's what you have walked on. That's what's supposed to be impossible. You think it is the big things that get
people to trip. No, it's the little things that you pay no attention to. I must be very careful. You must be very careful. We all must be very careful. Because you think, oh, the problem is going to be that. No, 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 no. That's not the real problem. That's just a distraction to get you to get into the big problem over here. He began sinking. And he cried out and says, Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him, and they walked both together, and they got to where they were going to go. But that's this morning. Come with me to the account of Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. Now, if you were looking at the map, Bethsaida is this direction, inland. Capernaum is over here. I want you to note that. This is Bethsaida. This is Capernaum. If I were to put a clock on it, Bethsaida is at 1 o'clock over here, in that direction. Capernaum is around 10:30 over here. Are you with me? So these are two different directions. Now, to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida means that they should be going in this direction. But John is going to tell us that they set out to go to Capernaum. That's not where he said to go to. That's not where he said to go to. He sent the people, while he sent the people away, common factor, let's go. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Same thing. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Same thing. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Why? They're heading the wrong direction, doing their thing. What? And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed he had been a spirit, and cried out. And 50, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately talked with them, and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It's me, don't be afraid. And we talked about the fact that God will not give to you the spirit of fear. He is the revelator that wants to reveal himself to you, and the one thing that God doesn't want you to have at all is fear because of anything he's done or is doing. He will shut fear down immediately. Amen? Do remember that. It's I, be of good cheer. It's I. And of course, he went on to them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Now, we see here that there's no story about Peter walking on the sea. Because that's just one little thing to bring about the enhancement of this one factor who is it that is walking on the water? Is it a spirit or is it Jesus? Now, let's go back so that we know that we're still talking about the same story and not a different story. This is Mark 6, verse 30. We just read from verse 45. From verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered themselves up together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Miracles are happening. He's by himself, and sent his disciples out, and miracles are happening and all of that. And they departed into a desert place by sheep privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He began to do what? Teach them. This is one of those passages where the word comes through that he was busy teaching them. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came into him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Next verse, send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat, and they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? I want you to notice that statement. Somebody made that statement. I will reveal his name shortly. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He says unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now that's a different message. They are in the desert, and all of a sudden there's green grass. Miracles are happening, but people, they're not cluing in that something is happening. The miraculous is happening right here. How are we in a desert place, and now people are sitting on green grass, and they're not getting the message? How many things has God been doing around you that you've not paid notice to? Not been aware of? Not recognized? But many times, it's to pay attention to what we should not be paying attention to. Let's go on. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them. And they did all eat and were filled. So we're talking about the same story. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Same story. Now we go to 45. And straightway constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. So we know for sure this is the same story. Yes? So what is he trying to get at? Let me do a side sweep here. This place called Bethsaida, what is it about? In John, and this will lead me to the Gospel of John in a moment, but John chapter 1, I want to see who he meets here. John 1. Verse 44. It says, now Philip was of Bethsaida. Philip was of Bethsaida. Take note of that. The city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see that? We found him. We know who he is. This is a person that Moses talked about. How does he know that? They just met. Verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says unto him, Come and see. Come see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Jesus sees him, identifies him. You've not met. And the man is shocked. Nathanael says unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Not only did I see you, I recognize you, and I identify you. This is the kind of a person that you are. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What is happening here? Now, these people from Bethsaida. So you'll see that what Jesus, our Lord, is trying to accomplish is bring about this revelation deep within their spirit. I am the Christ. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. I am the true King of Israel. I am all of this, but I want to drive the point home. By revelation, I place inside of you, but I need you to come into real union with this truth. How many times have God spoken into my spirit about something, but brings me to a place where that truth is driven deep into my psyche by bringing me into an experience where I know that 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 I know. And this is what is happening in later parts of the book. Anyway, Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than what? These. Thou shalt see what? Greater things than these. Now he's talking about himself. But the reality of that very truth, seeing greater things, is related to what he wants to do in us. That we see greater things done through our lives because we recognize that we are linked to him. If you didn't get it yet, get this. While Jesus was busy praying up in the mountain, he was making it possible for Peter to walk on water. Peter walked on water because intercession has been made for him to experience something that he cannot by himself. And the Lord is interceding for you and I so that we can do the things that we cannot do in ourselves. That means, therefore, that we do not need to look at ourselves and our own natural abilities to determine what we can do, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when he says, go to Bethsaida, he knows what it's trying to accomplish, because the house of fishing is exactly what he wants to accomplish in us, that we be fishers of men. Fishers of men. Says you're going to see greater things than these. In John 12, just looking at this particular community, John 12 and 21. Then same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee. Philip is of Bethsaida of Galilee. That's where Andrew comes from. That's where Peter comes from.
and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would do what? See Jesus." Philip from Bethsaida of Galilee. Now, the Bethsaida that we know of today, I don't know that we can really categorize as Bethsaida of Galilee, because it's a little bit inland than being right in the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It's up there. However, this place is being specifically noted. It could be the place that we know of today, but there is a possibility, maybe someday through excavation, that they were going to discover another spot and say, "Oh, this is a place that we're talking about." I don't know that. But I do know this, that when they're talking about Bethsaida, we keep on seeing Jesus, the seer, and the one that wants to be seen. The revelation about seeing, recognizing, locking in onto who it is that he is a common factor. Here comes these people, Gentiles, and they say, "We would see Jesus." So Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And this is incredible. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So they want to see Jesus, and the first thing he tells them is about dying. Point. You don't get to see Jesus in his magnificence until you recognize that there is a death-life experience. And he's telling us, "I'm going to be buried, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, but when you think I am finished, that's when I begin." And that statement needs to capture our hearts in this wise, that we never give up no matter what the circumstance is. No matter what is happening around you, never give up, because the only person that can tell the last statement about your life is the Lord. Amen? Please get that message. You say, "Pastor, we're still talking about the walking on the water." Yes, I told you before I started I was going to go on some direction, but I'm still on the same point. Let me go on a little bit and show you something else. Mark 6 and verse 45. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. We read it before. He constrained them to go unto the ship, to the other side, before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. Now Mark 8 and verse 22. Watch this. And he cometh to what? Bethsaida, and he bring a what? A blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. Why is it that this blind man is at Bethsaida? It's still about the same thing, sight, and recognizing who it is that you are dealing with. You say, "Pastor, what is the message you're trying to get to me?" I'm saying God is about to bring you to the place
where you get to recognize him as truly sovereign Lord over your life. Because if you don't recognize him, you'll get deceived. Because there are going to be many fakes coming around saying, I'm Jesus, I'm this, I'm that. And you need to have the spirit of discernment to recognize that's the Lord. How do you do so? You do so by saying, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. If that's you, let me begin to walk in a dimension that I cannot walk in if you don't have the word for me. Because the reality is this. Yes, Peter was walking on water, but he was really walking on the word. He was walking on the word of command, the word that was given to him. How are you walking? Paul tells us, he says, fight with the prophetic word that you have received. Amen? Hallelujah. We're receiving the prophetic declarations of God, and we will move based on that prophetic declaration. Praise God. Brought the blind man to him, and he touched the blind man. Of course, you know the rest of the story. He got healed. Now, time is gone, but bear with me. Let me try to wrap this up, or at least introduce it to the next time. John chapter 6 and verse 16. But so that we know that we are really talking about the same thing, the same story, let's take it off from verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he says unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. Let's go back to verse 5 again. And he says unto who? Philip. You remember Philip? Okay. Philip. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him. To prove him. For he himself, Jesus himself, knew what he will do. God never asks a question because he needs information. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He knew all of it. Himself knew what he will do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus says, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. These are some common factors. He caused them to gather the fragments because God does not believe in waste. Waste of anything. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 loaves which remained over them, both them that had eaten. And it goes on, then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth,
get this, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Revelation. Coming to Revelation. But just having Revelation for the first time does not mean that God is finished with you, because he really wants you to know that you know, that you know. And the whole aspect of Peter walking on the water was to drive that point home to this son of his. And it came to fullness 2 chapters later in Matthew 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know now who you are. And the question to you and I is this: do you know who he really is? Or is it still a religious idea to you? Do you believe him? If you do, are you following through with that truth? Verse 15. Now we know we are still talking about the same story. Feeding of the 5,000. And then this happens. It says, watch this, verse 15 is interesting. It says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they will come and take him by force to make him king, that's not what he came to do. But he knew they were going to force him to try to make him something that he was not meant to be yet. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. Because people would like to make you what you are not ready for yet. You know, you sing one nice song, and now you think you better than the music minister. I should be the music minister, not her, not him. Preach one good sermon, I should be the pastor, not him. You do one good thing, it's me, I'm the man. And Jesus says, everything in its proper time. I might be the man, but right now, that's not the agenda. Knowing timing. He says, and when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. Watch this. It does not say that Jesus told them to go to Bethsaida. It does not say anything. And the first thing I want to think is, there's a mistake here. No, not. Remember, these are teaching moments. What is happening here? They are waiting. Jesus, go back to the immediate verse before, verse 16, 15. Watch this. When Jesus therefore perceived that they will come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed what? Again. He departed what? Again. Into a mountain himself alone. In other words, he had come down already. He told them where they should go. And these people are trying to make him king. And he goes back up the mountain. Because remember, he emptied himself of his godness and was man. And this, remember the word of God says he was tempted in every way possible. So when they were trying to make him king, he was really eyeing it. Yeah. No. I better go back and talk to Papa. I better go back. When you are going through a trying moment, what do? Face it in your own strength, or do you go and talk to God? If God says, flee fornication, it means run.
Don't stand there and say, I'm a mighty man of God, a mighty man of God, a mighty man, I can handle anything. No, I'm not going to find out where I can handle it. I'm gone. Running. That's what you do. I can handle it. That's what gets people involved in drugs. I can handle it. I can handle it. And the next moment, you're an alcoholic. The next moment, your marriage is falling apart. The next moment, you've messed up everything and messed up so many lives because you think you can handle it. Jesus went up, went to talk to the Father. And while he was busy, the disciples said, this guy, why did he have to go back to the mountain? He went to the mountain. We were waiting for him. He came down, and now he's gone back. And it's getting late. It's getting late. Verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down onto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. They're going toward Capernaum. He said, go toward Bethsaida. They're going towards Capernaum. Why? Because they made the decision to. They can't wait. They're tired of waiting. He's supposed to be our Lord and our boss, and we're waiting for him. Let him take care of himself. Let's go. I wonder who said that, that got them all men, all of them, to get into the boat and start heading out. It says, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. It was now dark, and Jesus didn't show up. So let's make a decision. Let's take the bull by the horn. If we keep on waiting for him, we'll get stuck in this God-forsaken desert. Let's do our thing. How many times have we done our own thing because we refuse to wait? Pressure is on. Let's do something. It says, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, John tells us how long and how far they'd gone. They see Jesus walking on the sea. And drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. So we know it's the same story. And this is key. And they willingly received him into the ship. They willingly received him into the ship. You know what that tells me? They were very upset with him. Why didn't you show up when we wanted you to show up? They willingly, please come in, come in, come in. And immediately, the ship was at the land whither they went. They were supposed to go to Bethsaida. They're going to Capernaum. But the ship arrived where they wanted. So this is what you want to do? Okay, we do that. You know what the lesson to that is? And it's all over the scripture. God is not going to argue with you. This is what you want? That's what you want. That's what we're going to do. Look at it at the end of the book. In the Gospels. Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?
Lord, you know that I phileo you. That's two different things. Agape means I have this incredible love for you in spite of whatever it is you did or did not do. Phileo, you know, we're friends, right? You know that. Jesus says to him, Peter, do you agape me? Come on now. Lord, you know that I phileo you. Do you know the next statement Jesus made? He says, Peter, do you phileo? So if that's all you want to offer, that's what I'll take. I'm not going to force you against your will. What you give to the Lord is what the Lord will work with. So they're going to Capernaum. Says, okay. They arrived. But John 6, I am going to revisit. Because John 6 is where Jesus teaches them about his death and about how they have to eat his body. And a whole bunch of people left him. All of his disciples left him. Because he's basically saying, you better know who it is that you're dealing with. Know who it is that you're dealing with. And they left him, and the Bible says they never came back. And while they were leaving, he's busy asking the 12, what are you guys doing here? Why aren't you guys gone? And Peter says, where are we going? You're the man. You got the real goods. The idea, child of God, is this. God wants you and I to get to know him. I think the story behind all that we've been going through the last few months, going to 2 years, is about this one thing. Do you know Jesus? And you know what has happened? There are so many that used to be faithful in the house of God that are no longer part of it. This doesn't work. I've been praying, to God to get rid of this COVID thing, and it didn't work. That's you walking on water. Now that you have come to the place where things are shutting down or rather opening up, you think this is now the time that you're going to walk? No, this is the time that you're going to sink even further if you don't repent. One of the things the Lord said not to do was stretch our hands to the government, and the government was offering all kinds of money. I'm sure they've, even now that everything is settling down, they're still giving money. I'm sure they've given city government, provincial government, federal government. I'm sure they've given churches about $100,000 already. We didn't take one dime. Amen? Not a dime. Why? I'd rather know the God who meets all of my needs according to his riches in glory than have a tip. And then when I really want something, there is nothing. Because they give and take away. But that which God gives to us when we have a revelation of him cannot be taken away. Because our faith is not in that. Our faith is in him. If we had taken all of that money, I wouldn't have been talking to you about you know, we need this big screen. I'll just go buy the thing and put it there. And one day you come in and this big screen is right there. It says, wow, oh, that's good. But that will be the end of it. Big screen and nothing. But when we trust God, when we trust God, we believe God, we look up to God and say, God, we cannot except by your grace. God begins to push into our hands what we need. And before you know it, it's there. It's there. Because the grace of God is sufficient. His capacity is more than enough. Amen? Hallelujah. And let me just introduce you just slightly to where we're going, and then we'll pray. 22. It says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to where? Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus, but looking for Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Let's go. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? Jesus answered them and said, verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. All those miracles that I did, that's not why, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And he takes that as a new teaching moment. And next Sunday evening, I want to explore that with you. I want to explore that with you. The message is still the same. God wants to reveal himself. And so we are going to pray. Remember, those guys came to Bethsaida and they said, we would see Jesus. And our prayer focus is going to be one tonight. It's going to be this. Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you. Moses said to God, I want to see your glory. I said, if you see my glory, you're going to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, except the kernel of wheat dies, it abides alone. And the Bible tells us that we are crucified with him, that we got to die. Paul says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. So we can live our lives unto God. Tonight we're going to talk to God. Doesn't have to be a long prayer. But we are going to be very intentional. That is, if you want to pray this prayer, it's going to be simple, very direct. God, I want to see you. Daniel says, it is the people that know their God that are great, they are mighty, and they do exploits. Great exploits. If we are going to impact our generation, we're going to have to see Jesus. And the Bible says, as we behold him, we are being changed into the same image as he is, from glory to glory to glory. I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed. I pray that's the same with you. That we understand that we are here, but we are here all because of him.
so that we can show him to the rest of the world. But something's going to happen to me. That's for sure. Something's going to happen to you. Because this God we serve is not an idol. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's real. And he's got to be real to me. He's got to be real to you. Because when he's real to you, when he's real to me, there are no mountains that we cannot climb. There are no rivers or seas or oceans or waters that we cannot walk on. Because we do not put license or weight on those natural things anymore. Our focus is on him. So Lord, help me to behold you so that I'm changed into that same image. Will you rise with me? And will you talk to God in your own way? Just talk to him. Just ask him. Those men said, we will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. Lord, I want to behold your face. I want to know you in a way that I have not. I don't want to just be an acquaintance or have acquaintance with you. I want to know you. I want to behold you and see you face to face. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Lord God Almighty, let your word and my life and lifestyle align with your perfect will. So, Lord God Almighty, that your glory is revealed at all times. My life must be transformed. My mind must be renewed. My vision must be clear, must be sharp. I must know you. I have to know you. So, Lord, O God, that your glory may be revealed, that I may represent you well, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every distraction be removed. Removed because my focus is on you. May I walk, O God, with a disciplined mind that focuses on you, the author and finisher of my faith. I must know you. Father, answer this prayer. Lord God, do this. Let the blindness be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the blindness be removed. Let blindness be removed. Let blindness be removed. Let me have supernatural eyesight, foresight, insight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. It is sufficient. And I walk in it because of grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Supernatural vision. In the Mark passage that I read you a moment ago, where Jesus saw the blind man in Bethsaida, the Bible tells us
And when they brought that blind man to him, he took the man by hand and takes him out of the city, out of the place of distraction. Takes him out. And he ministers to him. And he asks the man a question, "What do you see?" And the man says, "I see men like trees." Says, "Okay, we got to fix that." And touches him again. And the man saw clearly, perfectly. May God touch us a second time. May God touch you a second time. May God touch every one of us. Those of you that are listening online and participating right this very moment or in the days to come, may God touch you so that you can see clearly. See God clearly as He should be seen, and see men as you should see them. If you see men as trees, then you see them towering over you. But when you see them as they should see them, you see them the way they should be seen. But now you see God as you should see Him. What God wants to do for us in this last of the last days is that we see Him. Help me, Lord, to see you perfectly. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of you that took time to come and participate in this service this evening. At this time, we will honor God with our giving. Release that which God has placed by grace into our hands. Recognizing what money is, it's a tool that God has given to us. No one of us is going to take anything from here, anywhere. And so we've got to do the best we can with what God has given to us. Recognizing that He is a God who meets all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The God who says money answereth all things will give to us what we need. Money is important, but everything has to be sown. So we sow. We sow into the vision of God in partnership, and as we do so, God Himself will honor us by His grace. So honor God with your giving at this point. Praise the Lord. This is August the 8th. It's the 8th month and the 8th day. Double 8. That means God is saying it's a time of new beginnings. Let us experience the new beginnings of God as we give. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you that made commitments, I'm praying with you and for you. And I encourage you to do what you've committed to as quickly as possible. Because as soon as we can get those resources in our hands, we can begin the process of getting what we need to have. Amen? Can you see it? A big screen right here. We can manipulate and do all kinds of things on that screen. You know, each time you come to church, you have a different background. Right there. Everything is big. Bigger than life. You know, while the service was going on this evening, there were videos being shown while I was preaching. You didn't see, some of you didn't see it because it was not in your face. As we go on, the Lord told me many years ago, he says, it's going to be the same word, but how you communicate the word of God, my word, is going to be very different in the days to come, because there's a generation that needs to get the word a different way. And that screen is going to help me do a lot of things, creative things. We right now are working, putting together a computer that I think is going to, by the time it's finished, it's going to cost us about $8,000 for that particular one. Our leadership raised about 4,000 of, I don't know how long ago, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. We had our leadership meeting. We still need money towards that. And this is going to go, part of this funding is going to help deal with that because it's all connected. You know, programs that are going to be purchased, that are going to be working on that particular screen. We're going to have a practice on these smaller screens that we have right now. But things are going to get better and better. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you ever seen those videos or whatever it is that you watched in the 80s and how dated they look? You can tell compared to now. Then it looked perfect. Beautiful picture. Now you look at it and say, what on earth was that? Was that the same thing? Well, it's going to be light. Oh, night and day difference. Amen? So we're going for that change. And I'm looking at the screen right now. I can hardly see myself. Some of it is lighting. But that we're not going to have when we have that big screen. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is reminding me worse than when we first started Call to Victory. My goodness. Well, what a world of difference. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Let me bless you in the name of the Lord. And we dismiss. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every son and every daughter in this house. I thank you, Lord, for all of your people that you are raising up in this last of the last days to be world changers, world shakers, the voice of God that cannot be shut. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we are riding far above principalities and powers, and the kingdom of darkness is collapsing under its own weight, even now, because your word is alive in us. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that we use your word as a hammer, and we smash everything that does not belong. We bring everything subject to the authority of your word, and therefore, Lord, oh God, every son and every daughter, Lord, O God, will rise up in the authority of your word and be all that you say we can be. Thank you, Lord, for total provision. Thank you, Lord, for blessings beyond measure. Thank you, Lord, O God, for living life intentionally, purposefully, glorifying you because you reign supreme as God in us, with us, through us, and by us. And all of God's people together in agreement once again said, yes and amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Remember, Wednesdays, there are no Bible studies, but there are prayer meetings on Friday. And 11 days from now, there is going to be a conference called the Lifting Up Conference. And get ready to participate. Continue to spread the word. I don't want to keep you any longer, but you've seen the video. And so be ready to experience that. Amen? And in the next few moments, or rather in the next days, what we'll do so that you can see the video is as soon as praise and worship is done, we'll play the video so that you see it right away. Amen? God bless you. Good night. See you Friday.